by the trials, if we can pull it back there, James chapter 1, 2 through 8. 2 through 8 talks about profiting from trials. The trials, the tests. James chapter 1, 2 through 8. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, God. We thank you for the people that you have in this house tonight, Lord. Lord, I ask you to touch each and every person individually, Lord. I ask you to speak through me tonight, God. Use me today, Lord. Let this message go into each and every person's ears, Lord, differently. Each and every person to receive it in the way you need them to receive it, God. Speak to them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. Joy which comes from within. Joy that comes from God. Pure joy. That you can say you're happy, you can say you're full of joy, but this joy that it's talking about is joy that comes from within ourselves. Pure and genuine joy. Pure and genuine joy is a joy that cannot be taken away. A joy that can't be taken away. So I can be happy I bought a new car. But when my car breaks down, that joy gets taken away. I can be happy that I got a big truck to drive in the snow. But when it doesn't start yesterday morning, the joy of having that truck kind of goes down the drain. But even with spending tons of money to get it fixed, true joy comes from within. That you can still stand up here and say, hallelujah. That Jesus is on my side no matter what. That it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So when you go through a trial and you go through a test, count it all joy. You fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. How do I get patience? By going through trials. How many of y'all need patience today? Guys, how about you two? No, these two right here. Yeah, you right there. One of these days, I'm going to embarrass you bad, boy. But we say we need patience. Patience comes through the testings of your faith. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given unto him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. So when you ask, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it will be given unto him. But let him ask with faith, with no doubting. For the one that doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways. How many of you ever asked God for something and you doubted it? Yeah. It's kind of scary though. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Let's pull that up in the Message Bible for me, please.
pull it up? I've got it. What verses was that? All right, we'll start back with verse 2. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colors. So when a trial comes against you, when tests come against you, your faith is shown by true colors. Where do you stand? What do you believe? It says, so don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. Verse 5 through 8 says, if you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get away from the master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Goes on in 9-11, says, when down and outers get a break, cheer. And when the arrogant, actually we're not going to 9-11. But it's talking back to verse 6. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he has doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the winds. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double. Basically, if you have doubt, you probably ain't going to receive it. Because there's no faith behind it. Faith is saying, okay, God, I believe what you've said, and your word is true, and that I will receive. That I believe what you said, and you will come through for me in this. But doubt is saying, well, if he comes through, he comes through. If he doesn't, he doesn't. I hope he comes through. Doubt is hope. I hope he comes through. Man, that person that's never at church, I sure hope they come tonight. That's pretty much saying it probably won't happen, but it would be great if they did. That's where this doubt comes in. We begin to doubt. But let me tell you guys, the only way to build that up and to release that doubt from yourself is to begin to work in the small things in your life. The small areas in your life, begin to do something to build your faith up. As Christians, sometimes we wonder, why do we go through so much more than others? Why is it that when I gave my life over to God, I feel like I'm going through all this stuff that I didn't go through before? This is where the faith begins to build. This is where the patience begins to build. This is where you begin to grow, that if you don't go through things, you can't grow. If you're not tempted with things, you can't resist things. That in order to grow, things must happen. That as a child growing up, in order to grow bigger, to grow stronger, in any area that you grow, there's pain that comes with growing. They're called growing pains. That as a child, as you begin to go through a growth spurt, your knees start hurting. Your joints start hurting. That as you begin to grow in the gym, you start getting some pains. That there's growing pains. And it's the same thing that happens in our lives, that in order to grow, sometimes we have to go through things. That sometimes things come against us, and we wonder why. Because he has to make us stronger. He's taking us to a new level. He's getting you to crucify yourself so he can live. That sometimes we go to a point and we finally say, God, I need you. God, what do I do in this circumstance? God, what do I do in this? And we begin to crucify ourselves so he can live in us. He's making sure you are who you proclaim to be. That it draws out who you really are under a trial. That when you have a test, it shows how strong you really are. That any area of your life at school and you have a test that's showing how strong you really are in that area. When you're at work and there's some type of test that shows how strong you are in that area. And it brings out who you really are. And the good part on top of this with the test is you can see for yourself who you really are. That you can go, wow, is this really where I'm at? And this is where I need to get. Or it shows, you know what? I've progressed. Look at where I've come from. Because a year ago, I wouldn't have passed that test. That a while back, I would have failed that drastically. But look where I am today. That just because you're tempted with something doesn't mean you're sinning. It doesn't mean you're in the wrong place. A lot of times when you get tempted, it means you're in the right place. It means that you're in a place that you need to be. Because Satan's going, I got to get this man to fall. He's going to do some great things for God. I can't let this happen. I know where he's weak. I know where he's not strong. I'm going to begin to attack him that area. That's why we got to be strong. We've got to know our Bible. We got to know the Word. We go through things easier because of the pure and genuine joy that comes from within. That when these tests come against us, we're not all miserable and go, oh God, I just can't make it anymore. You don't understand what I'm going through. And we go, well, I'm going through a lot, but praise the Lord, here I am today. Praise the Lord, I'm going to make it through this one. Let's keep going in this. Verse 12. 12 through 15 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God. Oh, God tempted me. God threw that out me. For I saw on television a pastor that fell. 10,000 congregation church, something like that. Did some horrible things. And another pastor came up and said, so-called pastor, let's not call him a pastor today, that he was tempted by God. That he was on a different level than the rest of us. That he was so high up and used by God that he was tempted by God. But my Bible says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Because God is not evil and he has nothing to do with evil. For where evil is, God cannot be. Where sin is, God cannot be. So God doesn't grab a hold of evil and say, let's try to give this to somebody. He doesn't try to make you fall. But what he does is he takes the negative circumstances that the devil tries to do and put in your life, and he uses them for good. That he takes that circumstance when the devil is trying to kill you, and he says, I'm going to make them stronger. The joy that I've put in them, that's going to help them to get through this. I'm going to help strengthen them. This is going to make them stronger. This is going to build their faith. This is going to make them a different person. This is so that I can see where they're at. So that those around them can see who they really are. They proclaim to be a Christian. Let's see where they're at now. And he's going, man, son, don't fail me now. Don't fail me now. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That we're tempted by our own desires. Let's just, what don't you like? What kind of food don't you like?
Not much. Beets.
Beets? So if I had a beet in my hand, you know you want that. Come on, take it. Come on. Take it. Just take it. It's okay. Look at it. It's great. Look how awesome it is. You know you want this. Just take a bite. Then he doesn't tempt us with things we don't want.
He doesn't tempt us with things we don't like. What's your favorite food?
Crab legs. Crab legs. Come on. You know you want these crab legs. Just take a bite.
Oh, yeah, I would.
Nobody will know. Yeah. Nobody will know. I know it's not on your day, but just take some. Just take it. It's great, ain't it?
You wouldn't have asked. I would already been in there.
But that's what he does. The things that your body desires of the world, the things that your body says, go after. And your spirit says, no, that ain't of God. I can't do that. No, absolutely not. That I'm putting my foot down and I'm not going after it. That's where Satan's going. Come on, you know you want to. Come on, you know you want it. Come on. Come on. Just take it. Just take it. Just do it. Nobody will find out. It's okay. Nobody will know. That this is where you find out how strong you are. You find out how strong you really are. That when something gets set in front of you that your body desires, how strong you are. How strong you really are. Then, when desire has conceived, when the desire is there, it gives birth. When the desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. So when you take hold of that desire, you take hold of it, just gave birth to sin. And it says when it is fully grown, when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. So then, my beloved brethren, verse 19, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When you go through a test and a trial, God's not sitting up there trying to put you to shame. He's wanting you to put the devil to shame. It's not about you going through shame. It's about putting him to shame. You tried to throw that at me? You couldn't win me. You couldn't get me. Don't make the devil believe you're failing through trials. Show him you're winning. Show him you're winning. Say, nope. Nope. It can be fun sometimes, guys. It can be fun sometimes. Play it as a game, but nope. I'm letting God win today, not you, Satan. I'm letting God win in this one, not you. You're not the one failing trials. Make it the devil failing in trials. That when trials come against you, say, devil, you failed. Because I got God on my side. Jesus Christ, you know what? My body may not be able to resist that or say no to that. My flesh may not be able to resist any of that. The lust of this world, the things you throw at me. But Christ lives in me. That I have one greater than the things of this world who lives inside of me. That now I can overcome things. Now when things get thrown at me, I can say no. Before, we couldn't do that. But when we're crucified in Christ, we become a new creature in him. That somebody greater is living inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What a great thing that is with the Lord. Guys, the devil is greedy. When he begins to win, he keeps taking. That if he wins the first trial, he's going to go for more and more and more and more and more till he kills you. Till he kills you. So many people I've seen fail their test, fail the trials. That in this, when it talks about trials and tests, it's the same word in Hebrew in verse 13 where it says he is tempted. So a test and trial is somewhere where you are tempted.
that I've seen so many people begin to fail one, and they never get back up on the right track. That they fail and they get themselves down about it. And they say, oh man, I just can't do this. Oh, I'm a horrible person. Oh, I can't believe I did that. No, so you say, nuh-uh, Satan. You may have won this battle, but the war ain't over. The war ain't over. That I'm going to win this war with Jesus Christ. But what happens is we begin to say, oh, you did win. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I can't make it. And we begin to fall more and more and more till Satan sucks us dry. Till Satan keeps going until he kills you. And he tries to take when you say, I'm sick. You're saying, bing, point for Satan. When you're saying, I'm not going to get this job, boing, another point for Satan. And he goes, wow, this is easier than I thought. Wow. When you say, oh, I really want that. That's being thrown in front of me, but I know it's not right. Ah, heck with it. Bing. Another point for Satan. And Satan goes, this is real easy. Let's keep going. Let's see how much more I can get them with. This is why so many times when people fall out of church, they get attacked so much harder. Everything was going great when I was in church, and then I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I stopped going to church, and my life just fell apart. I just don't understand. Can I tape that and play it back for you? Because what happens is Satan goes, I'm going to take more. I'm going to take more. I'm going to take more. And keeps taking. He's greedy. But when you begin to show him, no. Yeah, he's still going to throw stuff at you. But what happens is you get stronger for the next test. You get stronger for the next trial. For when you're tempted with something else, you become a different person. That you have more strength. He takes until he sucks the life out of you. Literally. Says he comes to kill us. That he's trying to do whatever he can to take us away from God. Here's the deal, guys. The whole, maybe an argument tonight, but the whole once saved, always saved is a load of garbage. If it was true that, hey, I said a prayer and I'm saved forever, why would Satan ever need to attack you again? Why would he ever need to come at you and try to get you to walk away from God? What would the point be? But there's a point in our lives, I believe, when we say, God, take control. God, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. That we're saying, I give my heart to you, God. Do what you want with my life. Be the ruler. Be the king of my life. But a simple prayer is great. But you must stand on what you believe. You must step out on something more. In closing, guys, passing the trials builds patience, makes you stronger. This is all that we got out of the scriptures tonight. Builds patience, makes you stronger, helps bring wisdom, gives you the crown of life, lets you see where you need to become stronger in. And it shows where your lusts of the world are. It shows where your desires of the world are. But when you go through trials, say, you know what? This is building my patience. This is making me stronger. This helps bring wisdom and the crown of life. And it shows for next time where you need to dig in further with. It shows for next time, you know what? In this area of my life I'm struggling. This area of my life I'm having problems with. This is where I'm coming to you with now, God. This is where I'm coming. Maybe that trial was maybe you passed it, but it was the hardest thing you ever went through. Then you go to God and say, God, I'm giving this area up to you, Lord. Lord, I'm giving this area up to you, God.
We hope you've enjoyed the message today from Redemption Church. For a copy of today's program or to partner with us, please visit us at www.redemptionchurchstl.com.